Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a multi-generational knitting production. This is episode 499 and is sponsored by The Barmaids, Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, and Knit Companion. This week's segments include On the Needles,
Events,
In Stitches,
Mother Knows Best,
a review,
and so on. Grab your knitting, pull up a chair, and start your row.
Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the show. And if you are a returning listener, thank you very much for coming back. How's it going this week, Mom?
Excellent, lovey. How are you?
I'm all right. I am working on finishing my secret project, which should have been done 2 weeks ago. Would that I was not falling asleep instead of working on it.
So having small children and doing other stuff, you're surprised that you're exhausted at
yes,
night.
Yes. Have you been listening? Do you listen to this podcast?
Yeah, I listen to you and I watch you in person.
I have lofty ambitions is really the issue. So I'm working on that right now. I'm nodding. And then when I am done.
Nodding what?
Nodding the fringe on the secret project. Okay. And then once that's done, the trim is going to get The fringe is going to get trimmed.
With?
I'm going to trim it with scissors. I'm going to cut the fringe so it's all the same length. Cut it. And then Genevieve has told me she was honored to help me put beads on the fringe. So I have the beads. I've got the...
And she's got a good vocabulary.
The way she said it was just so, I would be honored to help you with that. Okay, cool. So I think the way I'm going to do it with her is she sits at one end and I sit at the other end. Because there's two sides that need fringe and there's 300 ends roughly, so... Yay, math.
Okay.
This is the kind of math that I don't find encouraging because I kind of feel like if you just sat down and did it, you should be like, okay, well, there's a lot of ends. But when you do the math and you're like, that's 300 ends. It feels like it's only encouraging when the math feels good.
Encouraging, helpful.
Yeah, it doesn't feel you're right. Encouraging is the right word. Anyway, so that's what I'm doing while we record today. What are you working on?
Well, I finished the Pearl Breaks last color, I think last week, and now I'm working on the edge, and the edge is a solid, and it feels like it's a gazillion stitches. It is a gazillion stitches, and I have to do, I don't know, 8 rows or 16 rows or some such thing, or more.
Some discouraging math.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to have that as my Star Trek knitting at night.
It's a good idea.
When I want to have busy hands, but not something terribly involved and brainy.
That makes sense.
So, yeah. What else are you doing?
I have a pair of socks that I have been slowly but surely working on. These are they're Halloween self-striping socks, and the colorway is called Creepy Crawlies by Knit Mona. I believe she is no longer dyeing yarn. Or she's on hiatus. But anyway, this is somewhat vintage stash. Speaking of hashtag Operation Sock Drawer, we have an exciting announcement.
We do?
We do.
Okay.
Innerweave Press has called us, and we are working in collaboration with them on a hashtag Operation...
That's secret.
It's not secret. We're allowed to tell people now.
Oh, okay.
It's been a secret. But now we can tell people. So this is an official call for submissions. If you think that you have a design that would fit the Operation Sock Drawer theme, please send it over to Carrie. And we'll link the submission information in the show notes. But we are so excited to be working on this. And we've been keeping it under wraps for a while that this is an idea. But finally, it's finally announced and official. And so please submit your amazing designs to the book. We're so excited.
We are very excited.
Woohoo! So, there is that, which is getting my sock mojo going a little bit more. Because I was like, oh, I should finish some socks for my sock drawer. Anyway. Do you have any socks on the needles?
I do. And I have socks off the needles. So, I kitchenered both toes on the Cadet Blue Vanilla is the New Black socks out of Peyton's Croy. I had started a new pair in the Sunset Stripe, Peyton's Croy, and I finished the increases on both. Now, I have a pair of socks in blue stripes, waiting for the toes to be finished, and that is caught on a hook.
Mm-hmm. Caught a snag?
Caught a snag, yes, thank you. Because I'm knitting those for Dr. Gemma, and I had asked her to send me an outline of her foot so I can make it fit exactly, and I'm still waiting on that.
You could just, I mean, I know I've been saying this week after week, just get her shoe size. And we can find someone with equivalent sized feet.
Or that.
I say this because if anybody right now who's asking me for literally any step that's extra, even if it's to do something nice for me,
mm-hmm.
it adds one more thing to the list. Yeah.
Okay.
So what we have the agreement in our house is if you add something to my list, if you want it to get done ever, you need to take something off of my list. So we're not quite physically close enough to Dr. Gemma to take something off of her list, but this is me attempting to take it off of her list.
Okay.
Anyway, what else have you got? I don't have very much this week.
I had finished the sleeves of the vitamin D sweater, and this is the hashtag Choose Your Own Adventure, Kel. And reading the directions, I need to seam both arms before I progress.
Mm-hmm. No, that's...
Yeah, I talked about this last week.
We have cake.
We have cake?
We have cake.
So it seems seaming two sleeves is incredibly hard. And I found my chibi case. And I threw it in with a sweater.
Mm-hmm.
But this morning I didn't want to sit down and try starting to seam.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You know, I'm sewing like crazy, but seaming seems to be too hard.
It's a lot of work. It takes time.
If I do it one sleeve at a time, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be less than half an hour each.
You think so?
Or half an hour each.
Mattress stitch is usually how I do my side seams.
Yes.
And it takes me... Well, I haven't done any in a while, but it takes time.
I can time it when I finally decide it's not too hard to do it. Oh, it's so hard. No, it isn't hard.
It's not hard. It's just time consuming.
Yeah, I don't know, but it seems an effort.
Yeah, it is so an effort.
It's marinating.
An effort seems an effort.
Oh, terrible.
Womp, womp.
Okay, what else are you working on?
That's it? I literally am just working on this right now.
Oh, no, I have something else. I'm working on the Ridgeline cowl.
Mm-hmm.
And the yarn is from Backyard Fiber Works. Main color is gray, and then it has a rainbow of contrast ridges.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Roy G. Biv. Is the rainbow correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So far, I'm on Roy G.
For those who were not raised with the acronym, though, I'm not always positive when something's a U.S. thing or if it's a global thing, but it's...
I think it's a U.S. thing.
Okay, so it's red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet.
Yes. Biv.
Blue, indigo, violet. Yes, okay.
And so how you do ridges is not a secret, is it?
I don't know.
I can talk about it.
Sure.
So to do a ridge, you knit a couple of rows, and then you go down back on the purl side,
mm-hmm.
and you pick up the colored bit,
mm-hmm.
and put it on the needle and knit it together, and that makes a sideways tuck. It's a tuck.
Okay.
That's the sewing term.
Do you have to wear your reading glasses when you do it?
You need to see
I
what
have to wear
doing.
My reading glasses when I do it. These are the things I'm complaining about right now. I'm really enjoying knitting endlessly in circles forever.
Okay. So I was doing it and picking up one stitch at a time and putting it on the needle is just too slow.
Is this one of those things where if you run a lifeline through it, you can just pick it up and go?
Well, What I've been doing
and listening.
I've tried that and I decided it was too slow for me. And so what I did is I took
a second circular.
A second circular. Smaller, and picked up half the stitches at a time.
Ah.
And then it's like a two needle bind off without the binding off. So I'm knitting just off the two needles together, and it
genius.
Is so much faster.
That's how I did my the brim of my resistance hat and my Hamel knit hat.
Yeah, so this is much faster than doing it one at a time.
Agree.
Yeah. Burp. So,
and it's also a contrasty color, so it's not like you're trying to pick up in the same color and count
right.
rows. It's
if
right
you
there.
Were doing it in a contrast in the same color, you would need a lifeline.
Yeah, for sure. That's why I'm pointing out the genius, because also it's not a video cast, and somebody hasn't put this up on social media yet. Hint, hint. It's so pretty, you should put it up.
I've been taking pictures this morning, and you need to show me how to do a circle around something so I can point
emphasize.
That out.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, is that it for our...
That's it for knitting. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to the next segment. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. Have you ever had to frog because you forgot a step several rows back? Or lost your spot because you dropped your magnet board or lost track with your highlighter tape? Instead of wrestling with paper, use the Knit Companion app. It keeps you on track so you can knit more and frog less. Knit Companion works with all your patterns and is available for Apple, Android, and Kindle Fire devices. You can find links to Knit Companion along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes. Mother dearest,
lovey,
what events will we be attending in the near future?
May 1st, we started the hashtag Choose Your Own Adventure, Cal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is ongoing.
Correct.
And whenever you start, whenever you finish,
that's
is good.
Yeah.
September 21st to 23rd is Vogue Knitting Live in San Francisco. And we're planning to attend.
On Saturday.
On Saturday.
Which I believe is the 22nd.
It's the first time we're going to Vogue Knitting.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Me too. Come say hi.
Yes, definitely. Pacific International Quilt Fest at the Santa Clara Convention Center, where Stitches is held, is October 11th to 14th, 2018. And so far, that is the last event for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then next year, we're attending Stitches West at the Santa Clara Convention Center, February 21st to 24th, 2019. And that's all we have on our calendar so far.
Love kicking off the beginning of the new year with a big fiber show.
Yeah.
Alrighty, if you see us, come say hi. We are pretty easy to find. I currently have bright blue hair. For this show, I will have bright blue hair. And Mom is always right by my side. Alrighty, let's move on to the next segment. Mother dearest.
Lovey.
Fall has come. Pumpkin spice abounds. Are you wearing your knits?
No, I'm wearing flannel shirts and cotton socks. I'm not quite cold enough to want to wear any knits.
Okay.
What are you guys wearing, though?
Well, since we're up at the crack of dawn to walk uphill both ways in the snow, we are wearing our woolens in the morning. Genevieve this morning was wearing her All You Need Is Hat. And she's been wearing the Hearthstone pullover that goes with that. And then this morning she was wearing the Barbary cardigan, which is the yellow one we did for the Matchy Matchy Cal.
Barbaries are red. Why did you name it Barbary?
I didn't name the pattern.
Oh, it's a pattern.
Barbary. Okay. The color, I think, is called Saffron.
Yes.
Which is extremely accurate. It's from Abstract Fiber. And every time she wears it, I think to myself, I should really finish mine. Because mine's done to the armholes. And I did it in one piece. So
it's
from the bottom
zip,
up.
Zip, zip, zip.
Yeah. The rest of it's, except for sleeves, which take me 7 lifetimes. But things don't zip when you're snoring on the couch. So.
Okay.
All of these things. I had convinced myself I could finish my Frozen Heart sweater and block it by Saturday. That's what I was convincing myself of this morning while I was getting ready, by the way.
Why?
Because I want to wear a new sweater.
Okay.
I might do a semi-finished Saturday and wear it as it is in progress, like I did to Stitches, with one sleeve finished and one sleeve in progress.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Okay.
Anyway.
I wore something. I wore my crookedy flannel shirt that I sewed where the front rows
don't match.
Yeah. I wore that on the first day of classes to school.
Yeah.
Well, that was a mitigated success.
A mitigated success?
Yeah. I showed the teacher and she said, oh, dear.
Could she figure out what went wrong?
I didn't ask.
Okay. That seems like
looking at it, it wasn't quite on grain.
You didn't cut it quite on grain? Or the pattern wasn't quite? Well, that doesn't make sense. It was woven.
Pattern was fine.
Okay.
I cut something crooked.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I also wore my Hamel knit hat, which is out of Lisa Souza. I believe it's her deluxe sock yarn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made one for Genevieve. And I made one for me, which means I've made two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning I was thinking to myself, because there were a couple of variations that I wanted to do on my next one, but how often have I knit something like this twice? And I have yarn for it. I have slightly different yarn because I wanted to do it a little bit different because it's going to have different words. And I just enjoyed the process of knitting it so much. Like so much.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I just thought I would point that out because it's not, I don't usually say, oh, I've knit this twice already. I'm so looking forward to knitting it again. Yeah, that was my head on the mic stand. Anyway, so I wore that this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to the next segment. But first, a word from our sponsors. Dreaming of fall sweater weather? Infinite Twist has you covered with Dyer's Choice sweater quantities. Each yarn pack includes 1,800 yards of hand-dyed 6-ply merino in a one-of-a-kind color for $98, and shipping is free. Colors are not repeatable, and when they're gone, they're gone. Check out the colors currently available at infinitetwist.com. Hmm.
This week for Mother Knows Best, we're going to answer a question from the What Do You Want to Hear About thread. Jasmine Lovey, what question are we answering today?
Today we're answering a post from Make Socks Not War, who writes, I'd like to hear about your knitting breakthroughs, the techniques you learned that took your skill up a notch, like from your first couple of years of knitting till now. As a new knitter, 2 years knitting, sometimes I wonder if I'm focusing on the right project and challenges to become a better, less freaked out knitter. Why don't you start? So these are things we learned that were aha moments that made us better knitters. Mine is something nobody's going to want to hear.
Okay, I think my big ahas are sewing right now.
Mm-hmm.
But Lucy Neatby, the technique for knitting socks where you on the heel flap where you knit one slip one, she has an amazing technique. Coco Knits, they have a technique when you do shoulder decreases, it is stair steppy, and trying to do a straight seam on a stair steppy
stair sept bind off is a little iffy.
Yeah, it's awful, and their technique is amazing. The two-color knitting
from the philosophers
that I need to practice, and I'm way behind on that. But you've been doing that for years.
I love it.
Since you were 15.
Yep.
What else?
Blocking. Uni Jang, who used to be the editor of Interweave.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she is anymore. I'm so out of it these days. I know she used to be the editor, but before that, she was blogging. And on her blog, and we're coming up on like, this is almost 20 years ago, I was reading and she wrote something where it was basically saying, I block everything I knit. No matter what it is, I block it. And I thought, that's nuts because so much blocking and who likes to block and can it really make that big a difference? And the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
It does make a big difference. The finished product looked so different. I should put my Hamel knit hat next to Genevieve's because where I found it this morning was still in the bucket. I have a bucket of sweaters that need washing because they're waiting for me to wash them. They're hand wash sweaters. And it was at the bottom because I had meant to block it when I had a thing of clean water with some soap so I could wash it and then get it blocked. And it's still not blocked.
Oh, you haven't gone to the river yet.
I have not gone to the river to wash my laundry. And Genevieve's is blocked. And they look like night and day. I should take side-by-side pictures.
You should.
Because it does make such a... And every time I do this, I'm like, this is... It does make a big difference. This would have been 3 years ago when I did Genevieve's Playful Stripes cardigan in the sock yarn with the sparkly buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to lengthen the sleeves because I shortened them by an inch on accident somehow. Mm-hmm. So I had to steek it in. And I steeked the sleeve and then lengthened where it went and then did a Kitchener.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yes. And then Kitchener stitched them back on. And you can't tell where they are. But before, I blocked it for like the seventh time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I block when the sweater's finished. I block before doing the edging. I block doing after the edging. So if it's a cardigan on the...
That's a lot of blocking.
It is, but it doesn't... The stitches won't sit right.
Define blocking in this case.
Okay,
the way... How much work do you
I don't pin anymore. Those days are over.
Okay.
Unless it's a lace shawl, I'm not pinning. If it's a sweater, I take the sweater and I wash it in wool wash of some kind. Beyond Clean is currently what
Describe
I'm super into.
Describe how you wash.
Oh, I take tepid water from the sink. I usually put a teaspoon of citric acid in the water because we have super, super hard water.
Yeah.
That's to keep the colors where they're supposed to be, because if the pH of your water is off, that affects your stuff. I do a squirt of the Beyond Clean wool wash in the tepid water, and then I sink the sweater in and kind of gently swish it. And then the directions on Beyond Clean say wash, warm, rinse, cool. So you have to be careful when you're rinsing not to agitate. So I fill the bucket.
Because that would felt it.
That will felt it. It's temperature change plus agitation. So it goes in the bucket with the soapy water. I swish it a little bit. If I see color coming out, I pull it out right away and squeeze it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I turn on the cold water and rinse it in cold water, and I kind of fill the bucket and kind of gently jiggle it and squeeze all the water out to get all the soap out. And I'm getting better at hand washing than I used to be, because it used to feel like getting all the soap out was really a challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I've...
Maybe you put in too much soap in the beginning?
Who knows?
Because I've been washing dishes with Genevieve, and she loves squirting soap onto
the dishes.
Perfect. Yeah.
Terrific. Whatever gets the job done. So anyway... I rinse it, and then I roll it in a wet towel. Not a wet towel. I roll it in a dry towel, which then becomes wet. But the kids like to sit on it to help squish out the extra water into the towel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really fun thing for them to do. So we roll it and we squish it. And it usually takes maybe 1.5 towels, maybe. And because the sweater is clean, you can theoretically hang the towel to dry and then use it on a human body later. If it doesn't get thrown on the floor to wipe up a mess, which usually what we do.
I think if you just have water on it.
It's fine.
It'll dry and it'll be good.
That's assuming nobody throws it on the floor to wipe up a mess, which
True.
Is usually what happens at our house. We also have gross towels and good towels.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones that are for example, when we give the dogs a bath,
mm-hmm.
we call them dog towels.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's how I do it. So it's kind of, and then you let it dry, and I have these great OXO sweater dryers that I put them on.
So my question is, how much active work does it take?
A lot. For me.
Time-wise, no. How much?
That's like 10 minutes.
10 minutes. How much passive work of sitting and drying do the sweaters do?
So because we live in a low humidity environment, it's usually dry by the next day or in 2 days. But if you live in a humid place, it's going to take longer to dry. I also, my dryer came with a sweater dryer rack that you put in the middle and you put your sweater on top of it and it heats around and tumbles the tumbler, but your sweater doesn't tumble.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like using that because it doesn't feel
safe.
Energy. It just doesn't feel energy efficient to me. So, I don't know.
That does make sense.
If somebody explains the math and they're like, actually, it takes less energy than blah. Okay, terrific. But for now, it feels like just leaving it out is the best option. So that's what I do. That's how I wash them. That's how I block it, too, because it evens out the stitches and it's all fine. Oh, and then I kind of pat it into shape. That's the last step. You pat it into shape. That is pretty much it.
Okay.
What do you do? Do you have any more breakthrough techniques that you liked?
If I can... Kitchenering. Knitted Kitchener. The knitted Kitchener is amazing. And I don't need to look for
a
darning needle. And that was Knitters Magazine? The instructions on how to do
Interweave, it was one of their email ones.
Yeah, but I think that is amazing. And now Kitchenering is not a big deal because I just knit the Kitchener. So that is really efficient and good.
I'm trying to think what else. Honestly, so listening to podcasts always gives me new ideas. which is good, bad, or indifferent. Ideas are always good.
Yeah.
Reading blogs always gave me ideas on new techniques, especially if someone else got excited about something.
Where
going
do
to
you
knitting
read
group.
Blogs?
I don't read blogs anymore. I don't read blogs anymore. I have a Feedly account that is, I just
An
need to
aggregator?
Get
aggregator?
Yeah. I just need to get used to using it again. And there's also, I'll see if I can find the other name of the other feed reader. Because there was one that I liked that felt like blog lines or whatever it was.
Yeah, but I think they closed, didn't they close one down?
They did. Google Reader, which was my favorite. Yeah, anyway.
I was not happy about that.
Yeah. But reading blogs was a good way of doing it, listening to podcasts. And now everything is on YouTube. So if you read a thing and you think to yourself, or you hear a thing and you think, oh, I should try that. I should try a knitted Kitchener. There it is. Technique books can be kind of hit or miss. But usually for me, I can always find something. Oh, the Arnold Culliford books. They have their individual breakout technique books and mm-hmm. a year of techniques. I've picked up something from each of those.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Because there was the cutting the cable and sewing it to fix it, and I'm dying to do a swatch so I can do that. Which, who is this person?
Yeah, swatch. Right. You will need to do a real size swatch for that.
Yeah, I know. All right. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I'm just getting into YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And my sewing teacher has YouTube.
Tutorials?
Tutorials, cool. Yeah. And people are standing in class with their phones trying to film her demos. And I watched the beginning of one of the YouTube tutorials she put online, and it is amazing.
So, like, it's professionally shot because West Valley has a film department.
Exactly. And they went to the film department. And
fancy.
There are shots from different angles, and there are shots from the front and shots on top of her hands, so you can see exactly what she's doing, and it is so much better than trying to hold your phone close to her hands.
Agree.
Yeah.
I'm done tying the fringe. We've been recording for about half an hour. That's all it took, and I've been trying to do it for almost a week.
But good.
Yes. I just thought I would point that out because...
And it still needs to be blocked, doesn't it?
Trimmed, beaded, blocked, packed up and mailed.
Excellent.
And surprised.
Yes.
All right. That's it for Mother Knows Best. Please keep your questions coming. We love answering them. All righty. Let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors. Every hobby needs organization. Every project needs a place. Erin Lane Bags helps you turn your fiber pastime into neat and organized endeavor. Our project bags, totes, and needle and notions organizers are everything you need to keep your fiber arts from fraying. You can find links to Erin Lane along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes. This week for our review, we will be reviewing Arctic Lace Knitting Projects and Stories inspired by Alaska's Native Knitters by Donna Drukonis. It retails for $26.95 US and $33.95 Canadian. However, this was not sent to us to review. This is a book I picked up when one of our local yarn shops was closing because they had a pile of books we hadn't gotten to review yet. And we are kind of rotating through our review shelf a bit because we've got some older stuff that we really need to get to reviewing. So, would you like to start? Would you mind if I give?
No, go ahead.
This is mostly information. So, if you want a book about lace knitting in Alaska, specifically with Kiviut, and information about muskoxen, this is a great resource. This is meaty. This I would sit with a cup of coffee when I was in the mood for knitting, but maybe not in the mood to do any knitting, because I would say maybe only the last third of it is knitting patterns. So that being said, the information is extremely interesting, and Genevieve has been interested in mascots because she didn't quite hear what the animal was when she was watching. She was telling about mascots, and they run at each other with their horns, and they're mascots. And I kind of went back and I went, muskox?
Oh, yeah, it was
on Wildcrats. Yeah. Yes. So as we were looking at this to review, I thought, oh, I should go through this with her because she's been asking me questions about mascots. And every time she says it, I say, musk ox. So, yes. For the life of me, I could not figure out. It took 10 minutes of her describing what she... No, I need mask. That's not a mascot. Musk ox. So anyway, I will be going through the bulk of the musk ox section with her.
Mm-hmm.
But they talk about going to, she talks about going to the Kvyat shop in...
The cooperative.
The cooperative in Anchorage. And I think I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
When I went on the cruise, I distinctly remember going inside and looking at what they had available. And it was really incredible when we went on the cruise all those years ago. So it is definitely a meaty book. It's black and white with a cover, a soft cover that is color. All right. Fire away.
So this is about the Muskox Farm Cooperative and the Alaskan women who run it. How much is Kvyat by the ounce? Do you have any idea how much was it the last time?
I believe it was $75 an ounce last time we saw it.
Yeah, Stitches. I thought it was more.
Okay.
I thought it was at least 80. It talks about history and lifestyle of Eskimos.
Mm-hmm.
And according to this book, Eskimo is not a derogatory term.
It specifically refers to two separate groups when you are speaking about them together.
Yes. So it's like stationary. It's a
category.
Category.
But yes. When you're speaking about the groups independently, you use their
tribe affiliation. Their tribe.
Yes, thank you.
The book also struck me as a travelogue because she went from place to place, mm-hmm. and described what it was, what she did and where she went.
Mm-hmm.
There are about 90 pages of introduction, and I just finished reading a book on the history of fabric,
mm-hmm.
the first women's work, the first 20,000 years, and it kind of reminded me of that. If this is an area that you're interested in, this would be a great book. So 90 pages of introduction, it teaches lace knitting from casting on. And frankly,
I actually don't think the projects in here are all that challenging. It could be a good first project thing.
Yeah, but I wouldn't try starting lace knitting
from
with
this?
Kvyat.
Maybe not with Kvyat.
No. There are about 70 pages of patterns. And 20 pages of design your own.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the good part is the part where it talks about the people. The charts, the lace patterns, I didn't think were very exciting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the ditto with the design your own. So for me, the value of this book is about
the information
about the Musk Ox Cooperative,
mm-hmm.
and the Alaskan women
who work with it and collect it.
Yeah
It's really, really interesting stuff. It's definitely, you've got your warm drink in the fall and you're curled up in your reading chair.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can give us a follow-up after you and Genevieve discuss the book.
The Muskox.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. And the way it's written is not dry, but it's informative. Because it's, I mean, okay, here's my bias. We've been reading a lot of kids' books in our house. I really like color. And there's photos and everything, and I think they do the job, even in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
But it does look... It doesn't look as interesting as it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The curb appeal is. Hanger appeal? Shelf appeal?
Something.
It's very interesting, and I'm looking forward to reading it with her. So.
Yes.
If this sounds interesting to you, it's definitely worth a read through if you get it from the library.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not entirely sure if this is a good fit for your house, or if you just like books that taste like knitting.
Okay.
I mean, it has knitting in it, but I wouldn't call this a strictly knitting book. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so this is Arctic Lace, Knitting Projects and Stories Inspired by Alaska's Native Knitters by Donna Draconis, and it retails for $26.95 US and $33.95 Canadian. Give it a flip through. All right, let's move on to the next segment. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. No matter what you need, the Barmaids have you covered from head to toe. Face pudding to keep you smiling, Lolo lips to keep them kissable, probiotic deodorant for keeping you fresh as a rose, O for feet's sake to keep your feet soft and sandal ready, and the Lolo body bar for everything in between. You can find all this and more at bar-maids.com. Mother dearest.
Lovey.
How is your sewing treating you these days?
Oh, it is.
It is?
Yeah. So I'm taking Fashion Design 2 at West Valley College. It's a junior college in our area. And I got one of my projects back. And it's a size 8 sloper and pattern for a standard skirt. I got 24 out of 25 points.
How do you feel about that?
Ridiculous.
How ridiculous?
Why am I going for grades? I'm taking a class. I'm looking for how to be a better sewist.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to pass this class to take the next one? Is that a requirement?
No, I could do pass.
I'm sorry, that wasn't the right. That wasn't the answer I was looking for. If you don't pass this class, like if you flunk it because you don't do all the tests or all the work or whatever, will they let you take the next one?
Probably, because the next class isn't Fashion Design 3, it's something else.
Okay.
There's only Fashion Design 1 and 2.
But I'm wondering if there's prereqs that you have to have knocked out before you can take the next thing.
The class I took in the summer should have been a prereq.
Okay, but it wasn't?
No.
Huh. Interesting. Sorry, I didn't mean to totally derail
that. No, that's okay.
24 out of 25, you feel ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel ridiculous because there seems to be pressure for me to excel.
But it's from you. Because it's not from anyone else.
No, it's from you and Andrew. You guys were discussing that I wasn't doing so well.
We never said that. We said that you were stressed out when you got home.
Oh, okay.
And especially during the summer when it was intensive. Because poor mom was fried when she got home. If you have small kids, there's an after-school meltdown thing. It has a name now, but basically your kids come home from school and they've used up all of their good manners and they've been holding it together all day. And then they just come home and fall apart. And for mom, she didn't like have a tantrum or start crying or anything. Oh, thankfully, because we've got plenty of that without help. But like she would get halfway through doing something and then just kind of be done. So like you'd go to set up the coffee. And you'd put the coffee grounds in the thing,
mm-hmm.
and then you just leave it on the countertop. Which, I mean, it only happened on school days, but we figured out that you were just exhausted. So what Andrew and I were trying to do is make sure you had dinner, like just feed her dinner and send her home. Because it was, by the time you got home, mom was at school from like, I want to say like 10 or 11 in the morning, or maybe noon until...
Noon to 5.
To dinner time, yeah. So it's a long day, and if you're a sewing machine, it's physical, and if you're listening, your brain is working, so mom is fried when she gets home. And now, too, you're just toast when you get home, because your brain has been working. I'm not superb on my days where I have a lot of intensive stuff where I have to focus. That's just normal.
Well,
we're not worried about your performance.
It sounded like it.
It was more like, wow, your mom's really fried at the end of the day. Yes, she is. Anyway.
I guess it's because I'm so outstanding all the other times.
So true.
Okay, so the project I'm working on now is a high-waisted skirt.
For me!
And I was complaining to the teacher that we're sewing stuff that doesn't fit anybody. And when I was taking classes 30 years ago.
At West Valley.
It was clothing and textile design, was what the classes were called. And we would walk out with a garment where we learned techniques. It wasn't just swatches of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher said, yeah, this is to teach you technique, not to have you do your own wardrobe. And I'm thinking it can be both.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if you have something that you sewed that you're wearing that you're proud of, it reinforces technique. But that's a different pedagogical approach.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure the stuff I'm sewing fits either me or Jasmine. And I took Jasmine's measurements, and I measured the dressmaker's models in class, and the size 8 that I did last semester didn't fit. So I went down measuring, and the size 10 didn't fit, and the size
2. And we talked about this, and it was based on your age, and a size 8 would fit an 8-year-old.
Yeah. So, no.
No.
A size 12 would fit a 12-year-old. Size 8 is too big for...
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't, but...
Thanks, fashion. Sorry.
So I found a size 16 dressmaker's dummy mm-hmm. that would accommodate your measurements.
Mm-hmm. That's a very nice way of saying it. It would accommodate your measurements. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So, and the construction of the high-waisted skirt is really amazing. And I watched her demo it in person, and I watched the beginning of the YouTube tutorial.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems the critical part is installing the invisible zipper.
Which you've totally nailed, because you did like 3 last semester, if I recall correctly.
I wouldn't call it nailed. I've done 3. How pleased I was with the finished garment is another thing, because you can't get close enough to sew the zipper onto the seam line and also fit the
presser foot part.
Doing it right on the seam,
mm-hmm.
you don't have enough room then to close the last bit of gap.
Mm.
It's trying to fit 2 things into the space of one. Yeah. So she said this last bit, you do by hand.
You defy physics.
And I was looking at the construction, and I thought, there's nothing like this that you can find at Target.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's where I go shopping right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, not at Target, but maybe at Saks Fifth Avenue.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Very fancy. My skirt was very fancy, by the way. I wore the A-line skirt.
Uh-huh.
Not the twirly one. That I wore that one a couple of weeks ago, but on Saturday I wore the straight skirt, and I asked Andrew to take a picture of me in it. We were wine tasting at a castle. We went wine tasting with a friend for her birthday, and the castle door was the right color, and it was just very exciting. And I didn't make it clear that the castle wasn't the point of the picture. The skirt was the point of the picture. So there, and even if I blow it up, it's just like, it's a very nice picture of me drinking wine in front of a castle. So, just not a great picture of the skirt. So I'll have to wear it again.
So, the most challenging part of the skirt is the center back waist.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a slit with a flap. And it really bothers me when I see people wearing short skirts with a slit in the back, and the slit goes all the way up, and there is no modesty panel or mm-hmm. nothing.
Like a kick pleat?
A kick pleat, yeah. So this has a kick pleat, and so I had done all my drawing
mm-hmm.
for the body of this skirt, and I figured, yeah, this won't fit you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took the old pattern from that I made out of Swedish pattern paper.
Mm-hmm.
You can sew that. And I put that on you, and I marked and pinned and drew lines, and then I brought it home, and I adapted the old pattern to accommodate your size.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was not enough room for the back 40 with this. With this size 8 pattern. So
it did not accommodate my measurements.
It did not. So I drafted a high-waisted front and mm-hmm. a high-waisted back, and the back pleat is rather involved because it is also lined.
Mm-hmm.
And then I needed to draft the lining. And I want to make sure it fits. So one of my plans for today, for this afternoon, is to make a muslin, either out of muslin or Swedish pattern paper. Mm-hmm. And if that fits, then I'm good to go.
Cool.
If not, then we'll have to think of
something else.
Because also, I had gone to Joanne's to pick up fabric, mm-hmm. and I didn't find anything I liked. She said this really ideally should be made out of wool. Mm-hmm. Wool is a natural fiber, and natural fibers are usually more spendy than
synthetics. Yeah, that's normal. Yeah.
And we usually also have a pile of fabrics available for the taking in the back of the classroom. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking through it, and nothing struck my fancy. So I found fabric, and you might want to go look in the basket.
The green?
Black basket. Yeah, pull all of it out. So I have a hunt. I found something that I think is maybe hunter green.
Mm-hmm. Olive green.
Olive green, even better. And I think that will go with the yellow that you like to wear.
That is beautiful.
And
it's a good olive for me anyway.
Also, it needed lining, and there were bits of fabric that I didn't like and weren't big enough. And the teacher said muslin, and most certainly I don't want to line anything muslin. So I found a silky fabric.
Mm-hmm. With flowers.
With flowers.
Yeah, that'll make a fun lining.
And it's kind of yellowish. It has yellow undertones, and I'm thinking it will make a beautiful lining.
Wonderful. I'm excited.
And you don't have to use just lining fabric for lining. I was telling Genevieve about the wool coat I made for you when you were little, mm-hmm. and I couldn't find any lining fabric that I was happy with. Mm-hmm. And they felt all plasticky, and so I went with a silky blouse fabric that was the perfect color. Mm-hmm. That was also a good story I told her.
Yeah.
She liked that. Okay. So yes, so today, making a muslin to fine-tune
the fitting.
The patterns that I've drafted.
Cool.
Yeah.
Alrighty, is that it?
That's it.
Well, it sounds like we've come to the end of our row. This week we'd like to thank The Barmaids, Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, Knit Companion, our supporters, but most importantly, you, our listeners. Absolutely everything, and I mean everything we've talked about in this week's episode, can be found in the show notes, which are located at knitmoregirlspodcast.com. And you can send any comments, questions, or feedback to me, Jasmine, J-A-S-M-I-N, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
Or me, Gigi, G-I-G-I, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Periscope, pretty much everywhere as Knit More Girls. And if you haven't already joined our Ravelry group, you totally should. It's full of fantastic people and amazing conversation. Remember, this is Jasmine.
And Gigi.
Telling you to knit more.